Wait, wait, stop, that's the one.
Welcome to Zenten Speaks, a show where I make new friends and reconnect with old ones. A show where everyone's stories may inspire you to tell your own story. In this podcast, we encourage everyone to get rid of shame, guilt, fear, doubt, and judgments for themselves and for others, and replace those with love, empathy, compassion, understanding, kindness, and to do your best in everything that you do. In essence, to get rid of things that no longer serve your well-being, to be true to yourself and be honest with others. No need to be politically correct. That's out the window with 2020. Here, we tell the raw, uncensored story, your story, and tell the truth as you see it. Make sure you live your fulfilled life without permission or apologies. So, if you have a juicy, interesting, raw, unapologetic story, and inspiring, please make sure to contact me at zenten21@gmail.com. It is zenten21@gmail.com. Or you can find me on most social media platforms. You know it. The IG, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, OnlyFans. I mean, not really. But yes, OnlyFans. Just kidding. Not. As you may guessed it, my name is Zen, and welcome to the show.
But it's just, and the thing is with kids is your budget's always going to change. So you got to be ready for that type of change on a quick dime, right? It's okay, back to the books. I got to redo this. And it's just, if you're not staying on top of those things, then you're not 100% parenting. And that's why, like, having kids is a whole different ballgame as far as responsibility. But it does help you grow. I'll say that. Having children has helped me grow, not only within myself, but within my ability and what I'm now able to do. Things that I, years ago, would not even think I was capable of. Nowadays, it's almost like, damn, if I can accomplish that, what else can I do? You know, like, let's look into this over here. I'm smart enough to figure this out. I don't even think I need to ask anybody for help with this. As long as I read up this and do that, and then you start to put things together quicker because you're able to parent quicker, and it all kind of falls into place. But for those, again, who like yourself, if you don't think that you want to have kids just yet, wait as long as you can, and trust me, because you'll never get that time back. So
right, yeah, definitely, that's a good advice. I can definitely think about. So I'm curious, I'm going to ask this question, and I thought of it about my family myself, because I get along with anybody, I always say. I like to fix things, I'm a problem solver, and I meet people where they're at, but, you know, not everyone's different. So my question is it possible, or why is it currently you and your parents or your siblings have a, like, the way you fix things with your wife right now, like, why isn't that possible with your parents right now? Like, why, what's the...
So this is the thing. So whenever I had to fight to get back to my wife, like, to get our relationship back, it took a lot within myself to know that, you know, most of this was my fault. And it took a lot of, like, me digging within my stubborn self to realize that I needed to let go of my parents' stubbornness and always thinking that you could do no wrong, right? That's BS, because in life, if you make a choice and it's a poor choice, there comes failure with that. But if you're not if you don't even get the chance to reflect off that failure and understand that you can learn so much from it, then you're missing out on what life is all about. My parents, sometimes, even when I would fail, would tell me I didn't fail. they would like reverse psychology me on that. They like, whenever I made the mistake of stepping out on my relationship at that one moment, my dad told me, oh, your ex just sounds crazy, right? It's not your fault. You know, women are always like this. And he always had this thing about like women were always this second class version of being compared to men. Another form of toxicity he would fill in my head as a young man. That's how I was able to, or that's how I was never able to hold a serious relationship up until now. But I realized that, again, this was part of that pattern that I needed to finally cut off, because I've dated women in the past constantly, and I was always a guy who could never get it right. And it came with me picking and choosing the wrong women, too, along the way. I would pick women off of pure pleasure instead of love, and I didn't know the difference at the time. Well, my dad would always tell me that, you know, I can never do no wrong, right, when it came to that, because women were always wrong. But that's what he always believed, because he hated my mom. And so I never got to see what true love actually was growing up. So when you go to, like, you know, try to hold a relationship, it doesn't work, along with a bunch of other things. But it made me realize that I wasn't reflecting off my failure. And that was a big piece and key to life that I actually needed in order to move forward. So getting back to my wife, I think is different, because it took her noticing how hard I was trying to build us back up, and then her actually starting to give that effort. Because with anything being built, it takes more than one person. And with my parents, because they have this belief that they are this perfect American family on the outside of these closed curtains, and that their lives are perfect, they're forever going to be living in this paradox of thinking that, oh, just because we drink, there's a problem with the world, not us. Like, just because we have drinking problems doesn't mean that we're wrong. The world's wrong. And screw the world, because who wants to live there anyways? Why not just live in our own misery? But that's exactly what they do. And they're always going to be that way, because I've tried numerous times, year after year, trying to hold this family together. When I finally realized after I had my own family that this wasn't my responsibility anymore. So me letting go, I mean, quite frankly, my mom is miserable. I'm hearing it from my cousins. She is like thinking about moving out and finally separating from my dad after all these years. My dad, I think he's growing a lot of weed in his basement. He never finished the basement like he said he was going to. He almost finished it, but now it's a grow house. He is, I hope, finding his peace. But the last time I ever heard my dad talk about something along those lines, he was like 65. I think he's 67 now. But he basically told my aunt right to her face at a gathering at my uncle's house that he doesn't care to live past 68. And that life, he's already done it all. He doesn't need to look forward to anything. My first response from my aunt was, well, what about your grandkids? You know, like, what? And this was before I even had kids. She looked over at me and goes, what about Mitchell over there? What about, you know, what about your son? What about your grandkids? Don't you want to see your grandkids? He goes, ah, nah, I don't need none of that. I've lived my life. I'm happy. So for me, I'm like, wow, that's, first of all, a lie. I know he's not. Because he's like mono depressed. He got two DUIs. He doesn't have a license to this day. He doesn't drive. He refuses to go get it. He refuses to finish anything that he starts because he lets his failures eat him alive as a man. He does this all the time. And I, again, I'm breaking that tradition of I'm going to finish everything I start from now on. Any goal that I seek, I'm going to get to. And nothing in my way is going to stop me, period. Because it's always going to be me versus me. It's no longer me versus my family. I broke away from that. It used to be like that. That was like a struggle in its own. You know, I was always fighting for this family that never wanted to be a family.
So, yeah, what I'm hearing the whole time is basically self-accountability, definitely. You're taking care of your life. And you know where you came from in your past, but you're not letting that dictate who you are as a person in your future. And changing that legacy. That's great. When you're saying that, I'm curious about what went through when you were saying how sometimes you didn't eat and you had to go and scrape for food and steal food. when that was happening, like, how did you feel as a child? Like, you had to do these things. Did you ever thought about those things, or you were just like,
no, as a child, I always felt like I was just not loved or like not important enough. So I was angry. I was angry enough to have the energy to go steal change from my parents. Like, if they had change drawers or whatever, if they were going to feed me, I was going to feed myself with their money, right? Because it's not fair. I live in this house. I didn't ask to be born. So I'm going to go to CVS and get myself some food. And then, like, with my sister, I would always make sure she was fed first because she was younger than me. And, you know, I was always looking out for my sibling. She would sometimes never do the same for me, but that's okay. I don't, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, during those moments, I just never understood why, because I look around and I'm like, well, we live in this 4-bedroom home and it doesn't seem so bad. Why is it this bad? You know what I mean? Like, we don't live completely poor, so to speak, but why am I always having to do all these things to scrummage to survive, right? Is it really because my parents don't care enough, or are they just living check to check? It was both. They were literally living check to check to the point where if my dad didn't have enough money for groceries that week, he would just skip that week, or he would skip 2 weeks and then wait for my mom to go grocery shopping when she worked all day. There was days where he would either work from home or not work at all, and he'd be home just laying on the couch all day watching TV and completely ignoring us. And when you do that, when you have kids, you're not giving them the attention that they seek in order for them to grow. Being a parent is a full-time job. It's not something to where, oh, if I have kids, they're just going to be my chore slaves and that's it. That's not what having kids are for. You're supposed to love them. It always just made me feel unimportant, right? Like, I always felt like a burden to my parents. And it always made me feel like, because of my existence, that everything was always my fault. Anything that would ever go wrong, it was my fault because I'm a burden here. That's no way a kid should ever feel, though.
Mm-hmm. So how did you get out? Tell the audience, how did you get out of the situation that you in, like, mentally, like, when you realized that, and in the process you did to get out of that to do better where you are now?
So I realized that it wasn't getting any better when I started to see my mom drinking, because before it was just my dad. Before it was when I was like, I was 16 years old. I had to drive my dad up to the courthouse for the second time, because this is his second DUI. And he had a really good lawyer, and I'm thinking that, oh, we're going to get out of this one because, you know, he dished away like 15 grand on this lawyer, right, who specializes in DUIs. I wasn't allowed in the courtroom. I still don't know why to this day. They just kept me in the lobby. My dad literally convinced me that we were going to go get lunch after this, right? And then all of a sudden I see this deputy come out, and he's got my dad's belt in his hand and all of his wad of cash that I was supposed to give the front desk for his court fees. And he calls my name. I go around the corner and I see my dad. He's like got tears in his eyes. I'm like, what the fuck's going on? He's getting cuffed. And the deputy looks at me and he goes, you're going to have to give this to the front desk because he's coming with us. I was like, where is he going? He goes, he's going to jail. And like the other cop was like asking my dad, oh, do they like you at work? Like, don't cry, man. You don't want them to see you crying, right? Like, do they like you at work? Are you going to be okay? Like, so the cop was like genuine with him, but he looked at me dead in the eyes. My dad did. And he goes, son, I failed you. I failed you. And to me, he had failed me long before that. He had failed my sister long before that, but he failed himself in that moment. Is really what he was saying, is I failed myself. And I saw a man completely defeated in that moment. And when I went back to the courtroom and I waited for the front desk to call my name, I just started bawling. Like I started trying to really, really hard to hold it back. But from that moment on, I was like, it's not going to get any better. And it really wasn't. Weeks later, when I came home, my mom started closet drinking again with her wine. She'd have like a bottle a night. And it got so bad to the moment where I'd come home and my mom would be like lifelessly laying on the couch, like halfway off. And like, I wouldn't be able to have a conversation with her. Sometimes she wouldn't just be slurring her words. She wouldn't be speaking words, is how bad it got. like she'd be speaking sentences and saying sounds instead of actual words. And I'd look at her, I'd just shake my head. So I'm like, I can't even have a conversation with you. It's that sad. And that's when I realized that I finally just needed to get out, that it wasn't getting any better. And I'll remember it like it was yesterday. I ran upstairs after I saw my mom getting angry for no reason on the couch, just like screaming, throwing shit around, like just acting like a complete nut because she was drinking that much. She was incompetent, dove into some CNN and just started freaking out. The world's ending, right? Oh my gosh, the world's ending. Like everything sucks. This world sucks. This house sucks. My husband sucks. Like everything sucks. And she's just spewing negativity. I ran upstairs to my sister's room and I looked at her and I gave her my headphones because she didn't have any. I was like, put these in your ear and just remember one thing. When you're 18, get the hell out and don't ever look back. That's all I said to her. Get out and don't ever look back because there's no life here.
Wow. Wow. That's an amazing story. So so you made a mistake around 2020 in your relationship also, which led to your job, if I read correctly.
Yeah, yep. That is 100% correct. So basically, basically 2020 was like a lesson learned year for me. It was a year where it showed me that if I kept making these terrible decisions, even now in my present, where I became successful with my company, that it doesn't matter. Life will still kick you when you make these choices because these are your choices of your past. You can no longer make these choices. And so it was funny because after I had made that choice, 2 weeks later, the pandemic lockdown started happening and everything just kind of shifted, right? The whole world basically shifted. And all of a sudden, I realized that I wasn't making any more money in my position because I was working off full commission at that time. Well, my industry ended up taking a dip because of the pandemic. And a lot of people were dropping like flies, including myself, because I realized, well, I have a kid. I need to pivot. So I actually took my experience that I gained from this company that I regretted leaving because they gave me everything I ever had, like ever needed, really, in order to see that I had a talent within myself. They gave me free training. They certified me in professional sales. They've flown me out to trips that I've won. They've done it all. Like this company actually brought me up to be a professional salesman. Well, I left because of the fact that the pandemic actually took a huge toll on the industry. And I had made $100 on one of my checks 1 week. And I was like, this can't happen. Right. At this point, I had to like dip into my savings, which I hated doing at the time. Cause like, yeah, I had a lot in my savings, but I wanted to keep it, especially in a time with the pandemic. I was like wallet clenching. I'm like, no, nobody's touching my money but me. And I need to know exactly where it is at all times because everybody was in panic mode. Now, after that had happened, I found a job as a business development manager for a company. And I don't even care if I share this information because this lady was just a snake. I worked for Michigan. It was a home and hospice company, so home healthcare and hospice. And I don't care that I'm sharing this information with anybody, including my audience, because one, I heard that they were operating offshore, which is completely illegal. And that whole industry is like sketchy to me. I'll never work in the medical industry again, and here's why. So I started working for this individual, and I didn't burn any bridges to my old company. I just told them, look, I'm putting in my 2 weeks, and this is why. And I hope to come back here because I loved working for the company that I worked for. And so I worked for, and this woman who was my boss at the time, I found out was not a good leader at all. She was stealing accounts out from underneath me. She was working them and telling me I wasn't working hard enough. She was stealing leads from me. And I would run my marketing report every single month for that month. And I'd find out that she was doing this stuff. She was putting stuff in her name and not keeping it in mine, hoping that or trusting within the fact that I can work these accounts. And as I was meeting new people, they would literally like not give me their business card, not do business with me. And I'm thinking, what the heck? Like, I'm a top salesman. Like, why are people not, am I doing something wrong? And I always think it to myself. And then one person approached me one day in that field and was like, no, it's not you that we don't want to do business with. It's your boss. And your boss has screwed people over in the past. And I kept hearing story after story, and I'm like, wow, I'm in like a dead end company and the grass is not greener on the other side. So lo and behold, it took me a lot to really get back to my life and where I'm at now. And it took me a few months. It took me a long few months, and it was during one of the harshest winters in Michigan, go figure. So even more depressing, but, it really took a lot from me leaving my parents' house. Once my dad kicked me out, I literally just said, all right, fine. Like, I'm leaving. And I went to go drop my daughter off at my, at the time, ex's house, which she didn't live too far away. And, I'll get to the point as far as, you know, me transitioning jobs. But basically what happened was I had dropped my daughter off, and I was walking with my car, and my wife now at the time goes, where are you going? And I was like, my car? Like, what do you mean? She goes, you don't have anywhere to go? I go, no, that's my car right there. I'm going there. Like, that's where I'm sleeping. And she goes, no, you're not. Get in here. And I basically lived with their parents for 2 months. They were kind enough to take me in because they understood my situation. And they took me in before when I left my parents' home the first time. So they had no problems with it. They understand that I'm a father, and they just want them to see me do better, right? And so the whole thing with the job was that I realized I was working for a snake and that I couldn't do this any longer. So I'm like, man, I really wish I would have stayed with that company. But I was being promoted in 2020 to a sales manager. That's the position I hold now. At the time, I was just an advisor, which was a professional salesman. And I was working my way up, but then the pandemic hit. So then everything was put on pause, including my promotion. And that's when I made that $100 on a check. And I was like, wow, like that's not good. Like, that can't happen. So that's why I pivoted, and they understood why. But then I came back because I found out, and things started looking up again. After I dug deep enough, one specific day where I was really, really just down, like I was so down on myself. It was like, it was 5 a.m. I was leaving my ex at the time's parents' house to go to the gym, and there was a blizzard. And I'll never forget this. I was driving in my Wrangler to the gym, and I could barely see in front of me because it was snowing that bad. I get to the gym, and I just felt like I was going to throw up. Like, I felt nauseated the fact that I was in this situation living with my ex, who is not currently with me. It's awkward. I'm living in a basement in my ex's parents' house with my daughter, who needs parents to be together and love each other, but doesn't have that. And it's my fault, and I'm to blame. And I'm completely unmotivated to go get this lift. I'm completely unmotivated. And I just decided, you know what? I'm going to try to find something that's going to at least lift my spirits enough to go in and get this workout done, because I have to take this day by day, as hard as it was. It was the worst pain I ever felt. And then I came across YouTube, and I typed in single dad motivation is all I typed in the search bar for YouTube. And the first video that came up was, and I could share this video with you later. I think it was the one I did share with you.
Yeah.
That motivational video that said it was for fathers. And I played it, and after I watched it, I literally just broke down into tears. I didn't think that I was going to be so emotionally motivated in that moment, but that video took me, and it sent me a clear message in that moment. I was supposed to see that video because I was getting down on myself for the choices that I made, but that's the exact thing I used to do all the time, is get down on myself and think that I was never going to fix this, and woe is me, and life sucks, and I was just falling back into that routine that my parents always had. And that's why negativity flows around them. It's almost like they have a dark cloud over their head that follows them on a daily basis, and nothing ever goes right. And I finally just said, no, I'm done. I'm absolutely done. In this moment, I've dug deep enough to go one, destroy this workout, which I did. People were scared, like staring at me in the gym, and it was hilarious. But I left that moment that day feeling better than ever. I felt like I could move mountains because I dug deep enough in that moment, in that parking lot, in that gym, to realize how angry I actually was. And realizing that it's not your fault makes you even more mad, because you almost want to do everything at that moment perfect and better than what you did the day before, so that way you can constantly break away from those generational habits that your parents portrayed and always instilled within you. And breaking away with it within yourself starts with reflecting on your faults, reflecting on the things that you no longer want to keep going with, you no longer want to keep doing, and falling into these traits. And to get away from that, it takes a lot of self-discipline. And in that moment, I called up my wife, who was, or, well, my girlfriend at the time, was now my wife. I called her up with tears in my eyes, and I said, I'm ready. And she was like, what do you mean you're ready? You're ready to come home? And I was like, no, I'm ready to be a father. I'm done. I'm absolutely done with this what was me bullshit. I'm done with living in the past. I'm done. I'm here to create the most beautiful future, and I want to do it with you. And I'm coming home after this lift to show you that I can do this. Every single day I reminded her that she's never going to find another man like me, and that I'm going to be waiting right here when she's ready. And I was very patient. I did that every single day consecutively until she finally came around and said, it was always you.
Nice. Nice. I'm glad you did that. So what did you learn from your mistakes about quitting work and basically splitting for a moment with your girlfriend? Like, what lessons did you learn and that propelled you to move forward?
I realized that, and a lot of 2020 taught me this too. I realized that when life or the world does not work in your favor, and that life throws you a curveball, that you have to have the willingness to catch it no matter what. And what I mean by that is when life throws you something unexpected, you have to have the mental capacity to be ready to actually handle it rather than having it hit you right in the face. Because if you have your guard down for one moment in a world filled with, you know, positivity that you surround yourself with, and somebody can live every single day as happy as possible, but we all know life is ready to come around and kick us in the ass. When that happens, though, you have to realize that it's up to you to protect what you've built. It's up to you to have the mental capacity to not make poor choices and instead change your perspective to understand how you can catch that curveball, how you can be ready for it before it even comes around. With the pandemic, of course, it was something so unexpected. But in my mind, in that moment, I shouldn't have made that choice to message that other girl. I shouldn't have made that choice to do the things that I did in order to get to where I was. And I realized that the choices I make is what shapes my future. That's why the present is so important, is because that's where all the curveballs may hit you. That's when life may take its unexpected toll and tell you, no, it's not happening this way. It's happening my way. But you have to be ready enough to tell life, no, it's not happening your way. This is my life. I have control of it. It's happening my way.
Right. So I do. One thing I've noticed with that, or in life, all these things that did happen to you, even as of last year, you still have your true self that was in there. Even if you couldn't see it for years before, you have this thing inside you that you're doing now, your self-responsibility, knowing what you want and who you are, and basically wanting to make a change, like knowing that you made a mistake, you effed up, you want to do better in the future. So, you know, when they say, as you know, like your past create your present and the future, and your decisions now is the decisions that later, but in a sense, examples, like you were talking about, what happened at your home, you went back and it forced you to, like, that fire got extra under your butt to, like, make you, like, become the man you are now. And without that, I've noticed even with my life or other people's life, it makes you a little complacent and be like, oh, nothing's happening, so I can like whatever. But yeah, when you get that fire under your ass, like 2020, like a lot of us,
exactly,
you're like, okay, I'm chilling too much. I need to get my shit together. And so,
well, so that's the thing. Yeah, so that's the thing. When you mention fire, I mean, everybody has that within them. It's just for some, like myself, in that moment when I was sitting in that parking lot in the middle of that blizzard, I was angry. I was so mad at not only myself, but my past. But I realized in that moment that without my past, I wouldn't be able to change my perspective in this given moment. I wouldn't be able to admit to my faults. I wouldn't be able to accept my faults for what they are. And I wouldn't be able to take the responsibility to move forward with those choices that I made. And so it's a hard pill for most people to swallow. And for me, it was like, look, you don't have a choice to swallow this pill. You need to swallow this pill hard, because look, you got a baby at home that loves you, that's dependent on you. That's what matters in this moment. But your past shouldn't eat you alive. Your past shouldn't consume you based off the curveballs that life throws you. Your past should always remind you that, look, you came from this area. You've been sitting in a jail cell before crying at the age of 18, not understanding that that wasn't even your fault in the first place. Well, guess what? You've been through that. What else can you handle? You know, like if life throws you an even worse curveball, like, oh, you can only see your daughter for 2 weeks, bam, deal with that. How are you going to deal with that? Well, I'm going to deal with that because I've sat in a jail cell before, miserable. If I can get through that, I can get through this. To be honest, not seeing my daughter for 2 days out of the week, or for only 2 days out of the week, that was worse than actually sitting in a jail cell. So for me, that was a curveball that I mentally wasn't ready for, and it actually made me feel completely depressed. However, how I changed that was realizing to become a better man in the given situation I was in that moment. And that was when it came to living at my spouse's parents' home. You know, help them out in any given moment that you can. Do their dishes, mow their lawn, show your appreciation. Do things because these people actually love you, compared to people that just had you because maybe they made a mistake, right? And that they couldn't love you 100%. So for the people that do surround you, give back. You know, be that better individual. Always change your perspective and realize that the world doesn't revolve around you, but you have to create your world. The only way you can do that is by carrying a positive attitude based off of your past and how you know how to carry that positive energy, rather than always falling back into that trait of carrying that negative energy, so that way negative things constantly happen around you. And that does come, again, with breaking away from those generational habits that your parents portrayed. It just comes with, again, you have to learn who you are. You have to really dig deep and understand, look, if I can handle certain things in my past, why wouldn't I be able to handle these things now? And always keep pushing forward and understand that patience is a virtue. Because, yeah, certain people make things happen overnight, but it does still come down to becoming a daily process, and it's a day-to-day thing. If you try to become a little bit better than the day before, that's how people move the needle quicker.
As a human being, you're very inspiring. Especially, like, I knew that, of course, earlier on, but when you're mentioning giving back and you're at someone else's house, like, it brought me back a lot of memories. Like, and I don't do that anymore. I used to be the person who's like wants to save the world and help everybody. And now I don't even use the word help. I use the word assist. Assist mean you're gonna, if you want something to be done, you're gonna do it with me. And I'm not gonna do all the work for you. Cause a lot of people would want me to do their resume, do everything for them. And then I even had people in my house. Like, I was like, okay, you wanna get back on your feet? You can live in my house for free. Like, I'm not asking nothing from you. I just want you to like get your shit together. And then your mission, I like doing dishes. Like, they wouldn't make a mess. They would. I'm like, if you take out after yourself, that's fine. You don't need to be cleaning my house. But they would make a mess, and then they wouldn't even offer to even clean the dishes. But hearing you say like you giving back because you're at someone's house, I was like, wow, like. Only most people thought that way. Like so many people, and you know, it's their karma, because when they had the opportunity for someone to, because like free rent don't come easy. Someone give you a free stay to like get your shit together, and you're not taking that as an opportunity.
Yeah.
That's your loss.
Yeah, you gotta, if you have positivity flowing in your life, you have to be willing to give it back out, because that's how life works. It's a give and take. It's never just a, okay, I got this dealt hand of cards today, I'll roll with it, but I'm not gonna do anything to give back, right?
Yeah.
There are a lot of people in my life that have helped me get to where I am now. And I don't, the thing is my parents were always those people that would make it feel like that if they had to do something to help me succeed, then I owed them something, that I always owed them something. They would always hold that over my head. That's not what people do, because my spouse's parents, I mean, when they would do something for me, they almost never even expected anything in return. Like my spouse's mom, she would literally tell me, whenever I wanted to pay her for rent, she'd tell me to put it away. Like she would always tell me like, no, your money's no good. I'm not even going to use it. I'm going to give it back to my daughter and she's going to give it to you. It's a never ending cycle. Don't pay me. And I would laugh and I'm like, come on, just take the money. And you know, I was just trying to be nice. But the thing is that's what life is all about. You have to be willing to give back. And that's part of spreading that positive energy in the world. Even when the world is so unforgiving, if you're willing to spread that positive energy, your life becomes so meaningful, and there's so much more purpose to it. And once your life is driven off purpose, there's no stopping what you can accomplish.
Right, exactly. Because a lot of people I've noticed, and I make sure I learn, I'm someone who tend to learn from other people, and I'm not like that definitely. Example, let's say if, what happened here? Like, let's say if I had an expense and then someone was like, okay, like your mother-in-law was doing, like, okay, you don't need to have that expense, whatever, whatever. I know some people who be like, oh, I have extra money. And then they'll buy booze, they'll eat out, they'll party, go strip clubs, when they kind of being smart about it. And save that money, because I learned that from Susie Orman. You know Susie Orman.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So I learned that from her. So instead of like, at some point, like I think it was with rent and other things, I took that money as if I spent it, because I put in a savings that I'm.
There you go. Yeah. See, and that's the thing. But that is also a part of changing your perspective. You changed your perspective in that moment to understand that, look, I've been doing this habit for a long time and it's always been working against me financially. So why wouldn't I change it and see a better outcome, a more positive outcome? I'm able to save this money. That is actually no different than parenting, my friend. So just so you know.
Yeah. Well, I know one thing. I've often said that, like, I'm not a fan of smartphones for some whatever reasons, but if I had kids, they would not probably watch television.
Yeah, good luck. Because the only reason I say that is because, look, this is something. I hope this does excite most of my audience that is listening in or does listen to this, because there's an episode that is specifically going to be geared towards the alpha generation. So did you know my children's generation is called the alpha generation? Apparently this generation of kids are so developmentally smarter than what we were as kids. My daughter is only 2 years old. She can already say her ABCs. She can count from 1 to 10. She can actually, no, now she can count from 1 to 20. She's 2. Like when she was 1 year old, she was standing up like in her walker on top of the dishwasher door. Like she had walked her walker over the dishwasher door. She was smart enough to understand that this thing that was shaped like this could go underneath the dishwasher door so her little feet can get up on top of it. So she was helping mom put dishes away at 1. I was like blown away. But I've actually looked into the alpha generation. Apparently scientists are coming forward and saying that there's something special about this generation of kids that are learning exponentially quicker than what we were as kids. And they're doing like case studies on kids already. to see what type of generation is coming in the future. And with Alpha Generation, I mean, I'm going to make a whole episode based off the research I've done, but I'm telling you, kids nowadays are learning way quicker than what we ever could imagine when we were kids. It's exponentially interesting, to say the least. But not only that, when it comes to technology and kids, my daughter, I only give her a certain amount of time with technology, because in a world of tech, I mean, it's really, really hard for any parent to sit here and say like, oh, my kids are never going to play with a phone. Like, they're never going to see a phone. They're never, it's hard, man. Cause when you're on your phone, they see it. They're smart. Yeah. My daughter, she'll take my phone, and what she does is she watches doggy videos and kitty videos on TikTok. And so she'll scroll away. She actually understands how to like videos and stuff like that and scroll. She understands how to unlock my phone. She's two. She's two. I'm like, how do you know how to do this stuff already? But the thing is that we were born, our generation was born without tech and now with tech. So we've seen what life is beautiful as without tech as what it is with tech. Thing is you have to limit time with kids and technology, because generally kids shouldn't be flipping through TikTok all day by any means. Right. My daughter, I give her about maybe an hour at max, and then whenever I take the phone away, I'm always like, all right, Avery, like, that's enough now. She'll go a couple more minutes. Like, she's smart enough to play that game. Like, all right, now she knows I'm going to cave in, but those couple minutes can only stay a couple minutes. Otherwise we get into this habit of, okay, now she's having way too much technology. Now it's becoming unhealthy. So about an hour max is what I give my daughter. And then at night before bed, just to get her to calm down, we'll watch a couple videos and then, okay, it's time for bed, sweetheart. And she knows at that point. But these kids, man, are so smart. It's insane. So I'm super excited to have that episode. That may be in the further future, but as far as the Alpha Generation, it is something to definitely dive into if you ever want to go down like a research hole. Alpha Generation is something to look at, because scientists firmly believe that this generation is what's going to save our planet.
Yeah, well, which makes me think of Black Mirror, if you ever saw that show.
Yep, I've seen that show. Huge fan.
So anything Black Mirror is like 20 years from now, and old men and be like, what?
Yeah, it's crazy. No, it's fascinating too, because like, I never actually knew until I had kids what Gen Alpha even was. And then my wife mentioned it one day. I was like, Gen Alpha, what's that? She goes, their generation. And then I looked up their generation. And then there's just so much research that's being done that I dove into. And I'm like, wow, this is actually really cool. Like, and it's becomes more of a responsibility at that point, because now it's like I'm molding part of that generation. So it's up to me to actually make sure that that generation gets to become its full potential. And it's really cool.
Yeah. So tell us about your accomplishments when it comes to your podcast Level Up. Like, what is the podcast about and what do you have plans for it?
Yeah. So the podcast overall is a place where entrepreneurs from all walks of life can come. It's not just a place for the people that come from the bottom. It's also a place for people maybe that have already become the level of a CEO or the level of a CCO or somebody really high up in the company or high up in a side hustle or self-made. You know, it's a place where people can learn and also share their failures, share their stories, share their whys. And really the main focus of the show is based on the sole individual. Is based on the fact that, look, we all have something that drives us, but how deep are you willing to actually go while paying attention to this show and understanding that these little traits and habits that we portray now in our everyday lives, how can we change our perspective enough to go deeper to figure out exactly who we are and exactly what our purpose is, not just some answer we're giving us in ourselves in our head, but a much deeper look and a much deeper perspective as far as, look, this is who I am. This is what I've been through. This is how I reflect off of that. This is what I have failed on. This is what I have messed up, made bad choice with. This is what I have done wrong that I've learned from, that I'm now doing right. All these different things. And this is the trauma that I hold. This is my baggage. This is a place where people can actually share those things and understand, look, we're not all perfect, regardless of what level we're on. And make no mistake, whatever level that these people are on, you never get to talk down to another person, regardless of what level you're on. Yep. At that point, you have no credibility to your level, period. But how to figure oneself out and how to move the dial forward is exactly what this show is all about. It gives back to the general public by saying, look, if there are people out there that have gone through a life of being told that you're never going to become anything or you're never going to be anything, well, guess what? That's bullshit, because there's something special about everyone. It just takes the individual's willingness to dig deep enough to find it. And that's exactly what the show helps people with doing.
Nice. I love it. And listening to it, I love podcasts. I listen to a lot of podcasts. And just like with the, I don't know the scientific term for it, but you know, when you catch someone like 5 to 30 seconds kind of a thing, when you're watching something or listening to it, like right away, maybe it's your voice or the energy, because I believe in energy and I can feel it even through someone's talking or watching them or whatever. I could feel it. And I would say, I wish you had, well, I was going to start listening, but I wish you had more. Because I was like, listening.
Oh, there's more coming. Like, yeah.
Looking, and I'm like, wait a minute, is this, that's it? And I was like, okay.
I said, I was never into podcasting before, but now that I'm a part of this community, I have to say it is awesome. I've listened to other shows, and you're right. You really do become engaged with certain people based off of not only your own interests, but just their story overall. Could literally 30 seconds in dial you in completely. And I learned that just from listening to a bunch of different podcasts. Like, I listened to one dude's show that's specifically about real estate, which I've never even like dove into real estate before. But you're right. Like, it could have been his voice. But 30 seconds in, I just found myself listening to these guys' facts that they were dropping. And I'm like, wow, like, I never really thought about it like that. I think podcasting has a lot to do with changing people's perspectives on things, topics of whatever they are. And if you have the ability to do that, that's what makes your podcast successful.
I love this era that we're right now experiencing, and your children will actually be living it the most. How, and now everyone, we always had a voice, but now we have the tools to express our voice. And if you're not doing it, you know, it's up to you, but there's a tool there. Cause other people like, oh, I wish you could, people would say, I'm so jealous. Like, I hate that term. I'm like, why are you jealous about anything? You could replace jealousy with, I'm inspired because you can do it.
Right.
I have Castro. When I use my podcast, I use Castos, and I spent $100 on it. And I'm like, that's all I spent, the money I spent on. Of course, I bought lights with other things, but I do those things with other things as well, not only podcasts. So therefore, nothing to be jealous about. You can put your money or even your time, because the most I spend on it is time. More than money and your energy. And if you have something to say, go online and say it. Even on your phone,
right.
Lights, nothing. You can just do that. Da, 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 da. And so what are you jealous about? Like, people are
exactly
so, like,
the thing is people, people have a choice, right? Life is all about choices, and life is all about changing your perspective. So people aren't willing to do two things. Most people in the general public are willing to make the choice of, instead of taking the money that I have and making an investment in myself, I'm going to invest my time and energy in negatively viewing this other person that started their own plethora of a niche of an audience and their own platform. And they started something that makes them happy. Well, I'm going to be jealous because I'm going to waste all my time and all my negativity on hating this person. When in reality, all it takes is what, $120 or so to start your own. And that's your own self-investment, really, is all. And or you can do this for free. Honestly, I know people that podcast for free and they still make it work. But the thing is
on Anchor. That's free.
Yeah, they could do it on Anchor. Like the possibilities are endless. So again, life is all about choices. But the second thing people are unwilling to do is change their perspective, because they don't have the self-willingness to pull the trigger and do something like something that me and you are doing, and spreading positive energy through radio, through a show. People, instead of changing their perspectives and thinking that they have what it takes to do that, instead are wasting again their time and energy on instead keeping this perspective of, oh, this person's never going to go anywhere, and I'm going to prey on their downfall, I'm going to watch them fail because I hate my life. Like, and that's, again, life is all about choices. Life is all about perspectives. And if people are unwilling to change the way they choose and their perspectives, well, then they're never going to move forward. And that is what Levels is all about. People that are willing to change their perspectives and their choices in life and hold self-accountability have the ability to level up.
Nice. That was a beautiful talk. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Audience, thank you for having me.
Yeah, definitely. Tell the audience where to find you, like all the details, like IG, TikTok, or your podcast, etc.
So I actually have what I'm trying to mainly grow right now, because it's so visual, is my Instagram page. It's at @levels_podcast. That's at @levels_podcast. You can also find the same username on Twitter and TikTok. TikTok actually has live videos of captured moments through my journey that I've actually taken in the level up process, as far as my journey with my company, my girlfriend who's now my wife, my kids, and like just how I went from an area of, oh, I'm trapped in this bedroom studying for this license, working as a bar back at the time at a crappy bar, to, okay, I'm going on vacations whenever I want. I am, financially free at this point, so to speak, because I view financial freedom as, look, if you can buy something and not look at the actual price tag, that comes from working without looking at the clock, right? If you have the ability to work without looking at the clock, one day you will have the ability to look at a price, or not even look at a price tag, but swipe that card. You know, that's, to me, that's what drives success, is, look, I provide my happiness enough to where money doesn't matter anymore. I control my money. I have control of my life, and I have control of my own happiness. And that's what success to me is, what brings out the best in somebody. That's how I measure success. There's a live video on TikTok it's @levels_podcast. And then you can find me on Apple podcast. I could send you my link if you'd like to share with the audience. I also have Spotify. I'm on Google Podcasts. I'm on not Anchor, but I think it's what's it called? Stitcher. YouTube. I'm also on YouTube. And as well as, I'm trying to think of all of them because there's so many of them. But Buzzsprout is who I use. So here's the thing with Simple Steps, the episode 2 that I just recently released. For some reason, and I don't know why, and I had trouble with it, and I sincerely apologize to my audience for not actually being able to get my second episode on YouTube. For some reason, every time I go to actually upload the video, it gives me this error message, and it tells me to delete the video every single time. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? So it's technical issues. I'm very new to this, so I apologize if people are itching away to get that new episode on YouTube. But you can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Buzzsprout, if you want to listen directly. I'm also on iHeartRadio, Pandora, and a few others. But the YouTube right now is kind of under construction, so I apologize, guys. TikTok, you'll find snippets, like audio snippets. You'll find on my Instagram, I interact a lot with my followers. So if you guys want to follow my IG page again, it's @levels_podcast. So,
all right, great. So we have 1 minute. There's a question I wanted to ask you lastly, because I heard it on your podcast. It says, living a life of depression. So
yes,
I love that. I'm all about words, and I love that choice of phrase. And so if you can remember when you were talking, like where your mind was, what does living a life of depression means when you're talking about that?
Exactly how my parents live. So that's an easy question to answer because I've been exposed to a life of depression for a long time. And it's living in this paradox of thinking that the choices that you make have no negative outcome. That anything that happens that is based off your choice means that everything's going to work out in the end, no matter how bad it actually gets. And that is a life of depression, because if you're not holding yourself accountable to realize that the choices that you make matter in life, then you're living almost in a mono depression, and it's a constant rabbit hole that you'll never be able to get out of. And it's a really ugly place to be, because you can ruin your whole life around you. You can ruin relationships with people around you, but your choices have consequences, and people need to take responsibility as far as those consequences. Otherwise, they'll never be able to level up.
Nice. That was beautiful. Thank you again. We're out of time, and I appreciate you for your time today.
No problem.
I do appreciate you blessing us with your wisdom and things that you've learned, and share your experience. Because one thing I've learned talking to so many different people is we're not alone, and people's stories are there to inspire us, as your stories inspired me when I was listening to your podcast. And even talking to you now, I feel like, damn, I need to get my shit together more.
No, you're good. It's funny because a lot of people always say that to me, and I'm like, look, don't worry about it. Because like my buddy Jordan, he lives in Texas. He moved a while ago, and we had this talk like very recently. And he was just like, man, I feel like now just listening to you, like you said the same thing. Like, I gotta get my shit together. Your shit is together. You're exactly where you need to be. Just keep going. And always, always remember this. If you could take away any piece of information that I give to my audience or anybody, it's all about getting a little bit better than the day before. If you could just be a little bit better, it could just be one simple task, right? And make it an attainable goal. Write your goals down so that way you understand, look, if this can get done today, such as doing the dishes, something as simple as that, at least I got that done today versus yesterday. It's about getting a little bit better day by day by day and making that a consistent routine.
Nice. Awesome. Thank you so much again.
Thank you.
And so make sure you visit Mitchell Leach at Levels Podcast, either on Apple or Spotify and on YouTube and on TikTok and everything. So I'll post all the links in the description so you can reach out to them.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate having me on.
Yeah, definitely. Awesome. Thank you so much again, and have a good one.
You too. Thanks for having me.
Definitely. Bye.